Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello, hello.
Understand this. The God of the Bible is the God of today. Mm. Everything you read about him is true from cover to cover. I was listening to Franklin Graham interviewed last night on Fox News. He's being interviewed by Greta. Mm. And they just walk in such great humility.
Yes, they do.
And he's just, you know, telling things the way they are. And he says, well, listen, Greta. He says, I just believe the Bible from cover to cover. It's the true word of God. And he's basically saying, I can't change that. I'm not gonna say anything else. And understanding what he's saying is, I had to say some things about marriage in North Carolina that they were challenging me because of that, he said. And immediately the same day, he got two letters from the IRS saying that he was being audited. Both of their ministries are being audited. And the letters were dated the same day.
Wow.
And of course, we can stand up for values and issues. Has nothing to do with it. We just don't support any political candidates or anything like that. Besides, there's no hope in a man, any man. And every man needs God and needs a grace in their life. And you should be praying for whoever's in leadership in your city and your state and your nation. And if anybody needs prayer right now, our president and his family and those in Washington need prayer. They need God's wisdom. And he says, pray for those in authority over you so that you may have a peaceful life. Listen, I'm seeing great unrest on the horizon. Mm. It's not time to criticize. It's time to pray. It's time to obey God. And he said, obey. And if you're in America, you're living in a democracy. I mean, come on now. You're not living under a king or anything. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, pray for our president. Pray for his cabinet. Pray for the House of Representatives and the Senate. And pray for the judiciary branch. And understand that they're human beings like we are, and they have ears like we do, and they can hear, and God loves them, and they're not where they are. God's not unaware of where they are.
That's
so
right.
He can speak to them where they are. But if you're criticizing them instead of praying for them, instead of just trying to seek God's perspective and what he wants you to do, then you're just adding to the problem.
Right.
You're stirring it up. You're stirring it up. So remember that. And so he says, you know, I believe it from cover to cover. And what Franklin was talking about was he had to stand up for what God says about marriage. And in the context of people obviously took that in because they saw things in a different viewpoint. But he's saying, I can't change that.
Right.
I can't change that. And if this makes you feel comfortable that when we read the word of God, we have to make adjustments in our life.
That's right.
You know, we're like, okay, I can't do that. You know, that's not good. That's not pleasing to God. And so every man has had to repent and constantly in the state of humility, being willing to adjust to any moment what God would have in for us to do at that time. So the same word that may challenge you and convict you of your sin is the same word that challenges us and convicts us and keeps us in a place before God. Where one man would see that, hey, I want to stay in my sin. I want to follow darkness. And they see it as a negative thing. A believer says, like Paul said in Romans chapter 7, he goes, this is what he says. He says, the law is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He's saying the word of God is spiritual, but I'm unspiritual. He said, the things that I want to do, I don't do. And the things I do, I hate. In other words, he's struggling with the reality of who he was, but the awesomeness and the perfection of what God's word is from cover to cover, like Franklin said. And in the context of that, he says, so this is what I say. He says, I just thank God for the word of God. I thank God for the law.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for the Bible because it shows me where I'm off.
That's right.
It shows me where I'm off, and it lets me know where I need to make corrections in my life. And by God's grace, we're able to do that. You can't do this in works, but you just go, you're convicted and you ask God to forgive you. And then you go, Lord, help me get back on the path.
Mm-hmm.
And he leads us like a shepherd on the path of righteousness. Sorry about this, American Gospel. For his name's sake, not yours. You know, this ain't about you. And in that, understand that we're all the same. This is Paul who wrote, one half of the New Testament.
Testament
that we built Bible colleges off of. That he's saying personally that he is just like you. He's saying, listen, hey, I read the Word of God and I have these great plans, but things don't work out. So I have to have the Word of God from cover to cover in my life, because that, with the power of God, because I depend on his completed work on the cross of Christ, that in that he will empower me to get back on the right path again. So what one man would say, who wanted to stay in darkness, he would see condemnation, he would see rejection, and just have to separate themselves from the Bible. A believer goes, oh my goodness, I am so sorry, God. I see what, and then you're excited about it, because it just shows the believer how they can please God, how they can walk rightly before the Lord, and how humble they have to be, because they know they can't do it in their own strength. And it makes me think of this, and I've talked about it before, but just kind of give you some insight, because Franklin Graham just said this last night on Fox News on the Greta program, Greta Wire, whatever it's called, on the Fox News. And we want to give the perspective of that. What is the light perspective of that, an L-I-G-H-T perspective? Well, the perspective is we don't have no choice. We can't change God's word. And that's how we got in this mess that we're in right now, is we begin to change God's word. You hear somebody reads the Sermon on the Mount, and they go, well, this is what he really meant. It's like, where did the really meant book at? Yeah. Where's this really meant library at?
Yeah.
Well, that's not the ministerial etiquette. Oh my goodness, there's a ministerial etiquette book? Where's it at? I want to have that book. Hello. You know, it's like, it doesn't exist. Mm. And so in that, then we think about this. Think about, for, you know, in America, football is not football. Like, it's not soccer, it's football.
Right.
You know, like the Saints and NFL and all that stuff. That, imagine playing football on a football field where you have the whole field's marked off, and one end of the field you have a field goal and the other end you have a field goal. Now, both of those are not your field goals. One is your adversary's and one is yours. And your job is to get to the other side, like the Saints used to. And with that, then you win the game by moving pretty much 10 yards at a time. And sometimes there's better plays than that, but face it, you're going to drive the ball. It's going to happen unless you're a good passer, unless you're Tim Tebow and he mows you down. So the lines tell you how you're progressing and how you're moving. It tells the referees whether you're offside or not, you know, like, offsides, blow the whistle, they throw a flag, you know, and it's like, great. And everybody knows he's offsides. They even go back and do a replay and they show where that player is in position of the ball and in positions of the lines. And the lines tell them whether they're offside or not. And the lines on the ball, there's even lines on the ball where they hold it. And all these things are very important. And so everybody knows the rules of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike basketball, who just violated all the time. Anyway, so and then your goal is to get to the score the end zone and get down to the other end and, you know, get some points like the Saints used to. Now imagine having a field. It's a beautiful grassy field. You have seats, audience on both sides sitting watching the game. You have referees down there, but all you have is a big grassy open place, and you have no field goals, you have no painted lines, you have no end zones, you have no 50-yard line, you have no 10-yard marks and all that kind of stuff. And all of a sudden you go in the middle of the field, they flip a coin, they go, let's follow God. No, let's play ball.
Mm.
And it's like, you're just walking into a mess. It's going to be a mess. Everybody's going to have their own idea what's offsides, what's not offsides. Everybody's going to question everything because there is no plumb line. There is no line. There is nothing that says this is a sin. This is not a sin. This is offsides. This is, you got a 10-yard penalty. And all of a sudden they just start saying, well, listen, preacher, the only reason that you're saying that I'm offsides is because you don't like me. And it's like, well, since I don't preach the line, since I don't preach the word of God, I'm sure your opinion probably is like that. But it's like, no, there's a line. Well, why don't you tell me about the commands of God? Why don't you tell me about the laws of God? And what happens is eventually pretty quickly, you're going to have fights, you're going to have squabbles, and everybody's doing what's right in their own mind, in their own heart, and not, because there is no lines on the field. There is no goal. Did you score the adversary's goal? Did you score your goal? Are you winning? Are you not losing? All your fans are going to leave because they're going to be offended by the calls that are taking place. Because if there is no rules in the game, you're not going to have any fans watching that game.
That's right.
because they'll talk for years about a wrong call, but they only can know it's a wrong call if there was rules and there was lines.
Right.
And but if there's no rules and lines, everybody's saying every single play. And that's what we've done today in the church. We quit preaching the word of God, and we got to get back to preaching the word. Not everybody, but preaching the word of God. And what happens when you begin to preach the word of God, all of a sudden, all the players who call themselves the church that are on the team, God's team, you know, realize I'm on the wrong side. I am actually scoring touchdowns for Satan. But you start preaching, and so people are going to get conviction. They're going to be convicted by where they are on the field.
Yeah.
They're going to be convicted. This is not a negative thing. When your pastor begins to preach the word, or a teacher begins to teach the word, or you're hearing right now, or you go to VFNT and you hear the VFN TV and you listen to the word, or you're hearing the word, understand, don't feel bad that you hear that when you hear the word preached to you that you're living in sin. I might feel bad about the sin, but don't feel bad. Don't kill the messenger. Realize that God is letting you know. Now, all you have to do, like Paul said, okay, now I realize that I'm off sides. I need to make a correction in my life. That's where you hear the word repentance, where you say, you know what? And so then you go back and get on your side. You don't stay on the wrong side. Now that you know it's sin and the word of God's been preached to you and you consciously stay in a place where you're crucifying Christ all over again, there's a chance that there's nothing for you at that. And so what's going to happen is when you start preaching the word again, getting to the word of God and begin to preach the word, sir, ma'am, preach the word of God from your pulpit, preach the word of God from every platform God has given you, and understand everybody's who said they were on your team, they said they were on God's team, you're going to find out there's a lot of players that aren't on God's team. They just like the idea of it, but they didn't realize you got to play on the same side as God. You got to play on the same side as God. But what happens is there's people who love God who didn't know it was sin, like Nineveh, when they said, God says they don't know their left hand from their right.
Right.
But when you get to teach them, this is your right hand, this is your left hand, you know, and on and on, then they go, well, hey, great. I'm going to get on the right side. I'm going to listen to the quarterback. I'm going to get in my position. I'm not going to be envious of other people's position. I'm going to get in my position, and I'm going to do what I have to do to begin to get yardage and do what's right. And I'm going to live right before God in the context of what he says and his commands. I mean, it's so understandable in football. Why isn't it understandable in the church?
Right.
And the thing is, everybody's not going to love you when you start calling plays. When you start throwing flags in the air and go, that's just can't do that. Like Franklin Graham said, from cover to cover, I have no choice. This is the rules of the game. And by the way, it's not a game with God. He gave his son for you. God loves you so much that he gave his son, and he allowed his son to die and take on the consequences of being offside, to being on the wrong side, to being on Satan's team, that if you make him the king, the Lord, the savior of your life, if you say, you're going to be the quarterback, you're going to be the calling the plays in my life, if that's going to be you, understand at that point, everything you did wrong on the field is forgiven. It's forgiven. Then you go, I'm going to follow you, call the plays in my life. You tell me what to do. You tell me how marriage is. You tell me how family is. You tell me how finances. You tell me how business is. You tell me how the church is supposed to be. And I'm fine with it. I'm totally fine with it. And I know that we all get a ring in the end. We all get a ring in the end. Because let me tell you who's going to win and who has won. It was Jesus Christ on the cross. He won.
Right.
He left death captive. Right?
That's right.
And those who actually come and make him the Lord of the life, the quarterback of your team, understand this, that you win. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, hell, where is your victory? Understand, in the end, if you begin to preach the word of God, you'll find out who truly is on God's side. And then those who choose God take care of them and love them and look after them. And those that are not, love them in hopes that they will make a decision to be on God's side.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Can a prison guard share his faith with inmates? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I work for a correctional facility for the state of New York. I was wondering, some of the inmates come up to me a lot of times and they ask me different questions about my faith, being that they know that I'm a Christian. I was wondering if there's any if I can get in trouble for sharing my faith with these inmates.
Well, I don't think you should. I mean, if there's someone, an inmate asks you in a conversation about your beliefs and your faith, I think the appropriate thing to do is to answer the question. I would first check with the Department of Corrections to see if they have guidelines, but I will say that most government employers recognize that your free speech rights, including your right to have conversations, unless there was a security issue reason why not to, that it would be protected, and that discussing your beliefs, especially as a Christian, and what it's meant in your life would certainly be something that's appropriate.
Do you have questions about your religious liberties? Get straight answers from ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org.
I want to be able to tell you, if you haven't yet heard, that you can go to VFNTV.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's called The Torch. As a matter of fact, you're probably seeing it on your screen right now. You go right to the front page of the VFN Torch, and you click on, you see in the upper right-hand corner? You click on Sign Up for the Newsletter, and there it is. You can sign up. You see the flame burning right there. Fill out your information here, push submit, and boom, every single week you will receive a newsletter with that week's program sliced up. Think about it, sliced up segments that, you know, whatever segments to you. I want to make sure you do that because we work extra hard to make sure that you can get it ever how you need to be able to get it. And because listen, if only 9% in 2009 had a biblical worldview, in other words, they had a light, L-I-G-H-T, perspective of the world, it's a lot less than that now. Mm-hmm. And with hearing the light of God's, you know, it's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. To have that light perspective of what's going on, it's going to help you have a biblical worldview of your decision-making, of why you're going to get married or why you're going to need to stay married or why you need to have family or why you need to pay taxes, why you need to function. I mean, we've got to move past that. And one thing we can do that is by signing up for The Torch and getting it sent to you every single week. Every single week. And in that, it has the offers and things that are going on as well.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
I want to encourage you, if you're not presently connected to a church family, if there's not a church family that you're connected to that knows you by your name, that loves you, that prays for you, that you pray for, you know, Paul's writing to the church of Ephesus, and he says, every joint supplies. And think about it. You're disjointed. You're disjointed. You're out of joint. You're not into the body because there's only one body. There's only one church. Jesus is the head of it. And you know, maybe there, you know, you've had a little struggle with wherever you were and you didn't fit and you were disjointed in that. But, you know, find a family to relate to. Find a church family to relate to. And not only show up because you want to be supplied, but show up and become have an abiding relationship with God and be a supplier. You know, be a source, you know, for others as well. And it's like every joint supplies. So I want to encourage you. There's a lot of things. There's a big shifting taking place in the body today. And God's bringing people to himself. And you know, basically people that have been inside something or heading out, and people that have been outside something are headed in. And the truth is need to go where God is calling you. And that's where you go. You go, you stay, you relate, you know, you function and realize this is pleasing to God. This is pleasing to God. Ne'er one of us is all the parts or all the pieces. We need each other.
That's right.
No matter, I mean, there's so many people, I mean, in history, there's, you know, God will give you a gift to be able to prophesy for others, but he won't let you hear for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There's God will give somebody a gift of healing, although the healing follows all believers, and they can lay hands on other people and they're healed, but they themselves aren't healed. Because, and we talked about that, the power of God, you can go back and watch that on VFN TV maybe. I don't know if it's available. But understand that we need each other. And besides, that's how you're going to stay encouraged. You'll stay encouraged when you are around fellow believers who are like-minded, who love Jesus too, mm-hmm. who are talking about what God shared with them, and it's relating to what God shared with you. And as you guys share, it's just encouraging. And life has its ups and life has its downs, its ebb and its flow. And you can't just run to a body and demand something from it when you never were functioning in that body in the first place. Mm-hmm. And so many people do that. It's so funny that, you know, people just show up and they say, you know, we were checking around churches that we thought we'd want to be married at, or we wanted to get counseling at. And it's like, who are you?
Exactly.
Oh, don't worry. We'll pay you some money for it. It's like, what? Where did that come from? What happened? What happened with all that? How did the church end up into being something of that nature? Or, you know, all of a sudden this tragedy hits and these strange people show up knocking on a door they never even went through, you know, asking for help and not telling you. They're telling you what their problem is with an individual and their family or their marriage or something, but they've not telling you about themselves, how it got to this point.
Right.
And you have to get together today and begin to relate today, serve each other today, let people know your heart today, prove yourself today. And everybody needs to prove their love towards each other in the body of Christ. Because when that day comes, the first thing the devil's going to do is he's going to put doubt in that relationship. He's going to put doubt, and he's going to begin to try to divide you from the very thing that you need. And if you've already built that fabric, you've already interwoven yourself together by the Holy Spirit, and you've carried each other's burdens and fulfilled the law of Christ, you loved each other, you ate together, you blessed each other, you blessed each other's children, and you love each other's children, even on their journeys. And so when stuff happens, and it does, then you know you have a place that you can go to where everybody knows your name. And it won't be just somebody who's just being nice to you because they're just trying to figure out what meanest thou this because you've knocked on their door. It's everybody's going to wrap around you. That entire body is going to have compassion over your situation. And they're going to relate to you. And you're not supposed to be at every place, but there's a place that you're called to be. There's a place that you're called to be. And this is what the Word of God says. He says, go to the place that I tell you to go. And there you fully function at that place. And just stand by there for the next orders that he's going to give you. But the whole time you're there, you don't hold nothing back. You're just fully there, fully present, fully functional. You know, fully submitted, fully covered. If anybody needs anything there, I mean, you're like the first person that jumps up and says, how can I help you? The pastor at that particular of that gathering or that church, you know, you're their best friend because you're the one that's going to jump up and you're going to say, this is where God's called me, so I'm here to help you out, whatever you need. And at times, yeah, they're going to minister to you, but there's times when you're going to minister to that pastor by just serving. Serving, helping him or her carry that load. And I'm telling you, it just brings such joy to you. That's what we're called to do. I mean, you're missing the joy of the Lord when you're missing the body of Christ. You're missing that wonderful thing of just kicking back with a sister in the Lord, kicking back with a brother in the Lord, loving on children, just spending that time together, you know, once a week maybe, where you just kick back. And then you see each other through the week and it's a 24/7 thing. But there's an epicenter moment to everybody's week where we have those larger gatherings where we come together and just celebrate God and worship him and learn the teachings, you know, dedicating ourselves to the apostolic teachings. And I just want to encourage you, you know, I want to encourage you that you need to get connected to a church family. You know, begin to look around in your city, begin to pray, you know, and who that would be, and let God lead you. Well, many people are wanting so bad to do something for God. And there's a lot of captivity of God's people that when they even start making any kind of movement in that direction, the religious captivity just puts terror in them. And the captors who may mean well, cause them to feel like following God and wanting to do something for God is a negative thing, and that it will bring negative consequences upon them. But it really is this: they don't know how to help that person. They don't have a grid, like a map has a latitude and longitude. They don't have a grid for how to allow people to grow up and be full and the measure of Christ into function, because You know, the fivefold ministry, the five gifts that God's given the church is for the purpose of training God's people up so they can do the works of service. And the church grows itself up and builds itself up as each part does its work. But in our past generations, we were kind of like in a box. We're like in some sort of just, this is the only way it can be done. There's no other way it can, I'm not talking about world, you know, since Jesus. I'm just talking about the American concept of right. things. And people were just locked down over that. They just couldn't understand how that works. And then they would feel, how can I do that? I'm just a simple fisherman. You know I read the Bible. I know God speaks to me. I know that I'm called. I know I need to be trained up. I know I need something. I might not be able to articulate it. And the thing about it is when you are in the early stages of your adolescence, of your walk with God, you know you need some things and you're totally open to them, but you can't articulate them because you don't know what that is that you need yet. That's why you need those around you who have a grid to help you, that they want to see what God's doing in your life come to its fruition. And not just so you can say, hey, I did something. It's because you have something to offer the body of Christ that they need. God's doing something unique in you, that there will be a people group. There will be a revelation. That'll be something that God wants will do through you if you'll step out in obedience to God. But and so you won't, if you're in that adolescent phase of you know, you can feed yourself, but now you're moving into the adult phase of saying, I know I'm supposed to feed others. And you need to be around those that understand that. I wouldn't be critical of those who don't have a grid for how to do that. Understand that they don't have a grid. Or, you know, maybe they just felt captive to, they're just feel like success for everybody is if they just maintain what they have. Mm-hmm. And the truth is, if you don't give, you don't receive. If you don't let go, if you don't cast your bread upon the water, mm-hmm. you're not going to get anything back. And mm-hmm. the truth is that we're a currency. We're all meant to be moving continually in the things of God. And I really believe the Lord's just going to break a lot of people out of that kind of captivity. The thing is, you got to remember that if this is true in the context of what I'm talking about, you're still an adolescent in the context of being trained up. It's not that you're not called. It's not that you don't have desire. It's not that God's not speaking to you, you know, Samuel. You still need to be trained up. And so that understanding that your gifting can take you places that your character can't keep you. I see more and more of this new grid. It's not new grid, but just getting back to biblical grid happening. You know, I see ministers and fathers in the Lord and mothers in the Lord that are just saying, you know what? I feel success for me is helping other people achieve what God has in their life and to be there for them during this journey. And that's where you want to be. You want to be related to somebody in the context of that God's calling you to relate to. And then begin to mature, move from adolescence to adulthood and understanding that you're still related, mm-hmm. but it's time to function. Mm-hmm. It's time mm-hmm. to function. And you're not losing anything by being related. You're actually keeping something.
Yeah.
You know, you'll lose it all by yourself. Mm-hmm. But if you get connected to family and you know, which is the church. When you say family, family, church is family, vice versa, that this is where things are. And that's what will bring the third great awakening, if you would, or the changing of the mind of the Church of America and the repentance that has to happen. I remember when, you know, Brother Kim was telling me, and Charles Simpson had spoke about it as well, and during the outpouring that took place in the 60s, where so many people were touched, just right in the middle of their darkness and their you know, they called the hippie movement and all that thing was, you know, free sex and communal living and drugs, and just in the middle of all that, God just reached down and began to save one after another, and they would show up, you know, in a church gathering barefoot with 500-pound Bibles, the family Bible, dedicated to God, which now are missionaries around the world and doing these different things. But it began when they began to come together with like-minded people and begin to pray. And they he said they prayed, they got together in homes and began to pray. They didn't you know, try to do something in the present gatherings
yeah.
of the church, they just got together in their homes, began to pray and begin to seek God. And in that, that's when things begin to pour out, because the pain produced the push that caused the people to begin to check their theology. You know, how am I related to God and what is God saying? Let's get a different grid here. They begin to pray, got the theology right, and theology pushes culture. And so with that, when we repent, that's what it is repenting, all of a sudden you'll find out that you are so much more to God when you understand you can help other people be more. You are so much better for God when you understand it's your life to help people be better. You know, if you want to get what you need in life, don't think about you. Help other people get what they need in God, and God will take care of you. It's amazing how that works. And then find joy in that. I mean, don't be thinking about yourself, because if that was your last thing you did, and even if nothing came back to you, understand that you were successful.
Yeah.
You were successful in the context of reproducing and pouring your life into others. And maybe one more good way to describe that is, you know, every Elisha needs an Elijah. Realize there was a school of prophets going on at the time, but God did not pull from the school of prophets. You can't get what I'm talking about from some school somewhere.
Right.
Now, the context of if there is a spiritual father, for example, that you're related to, but he has a school, you're in relationship with him in the context of receiving that revelation, and it's in the context of that relationship and the revelation that releases you into what God has called you to. But if it's something about, like, you go off somewhere to some strange folks to learn some unique doctrine, and they're going to go back to what you called was who you're connected and related to. It's just,
right.
They just didn't pull from the school. They pulled from the sons. They pulled from the sons. And so you're going to have to be the one, maybe, that pours water on the hands of Elijah. You have to be the one that serves and realizes that's how God does what he does. But you know what? When we do that, then God gives you a double portion, because it wasn't about Elijah. It was what God was doing. And God gave a double. You take everything that God was doing in Elijah and double it. And that's what God gave Elijah.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. Just Fish and Grits. If you're in the mood for some good Southern cooking, visit Just Fish and Grits today to dine in or to take out. You can have your meal on the go. It is good. AB Mobile Mechanics, fast, friendly, and fair. Everything from ACs to water pumps, on-site repair all over the Gulf Coast. Give them a call today. The $50 iGuide, where they have everything from wrecks to specs. You want to visit them today. They're right across from Home Depot in Pensacola. Visit a $50 iGuide today so you can see.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, when you think about it, there's so many people who talk about God. I mean, you think about, it's amazing how many, you would think that everybody knows God because they talk about God. But, you know, the more you find out, and once you meet God, then you find out people call a lot of things God, and it's not truly God that they're really talking about. It's their perception of what they're making it. But you really don't know that until you actually meet God. And the only way to really meet God is to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ. That's what's good. That's the gospel. The gospel, which means good news, you know, it just means good news, right? It's just good. The good news is that we couldn't have a relationship with God. It was totally over outside of a bridge, of a doorway, of access to God. And that's what Jesus did for us. And he's the only way to God. And so, you know, you just got to meet him. You got to meet my Father. And if you want to meet him today, if you want to meet him through his son, Jesus Christ, go to meetmyfather.org. That's meetmyfather.org. You can find out my story, you know, my journey, which is just kind of, you know, you think about it. We, you know, I try to share as much of my story to know how bad I am outside of Jesus Christ. And I had to cut it off at some point. But rest assured that outside of Jesus Christ, there's no way. I'm just, you know, Paul says of the sinners, I'm the chiefest. And you think about it, you know, we all can say that. And I just thank God for Jesus Christ and what he's done for me. But anyway, if you want to meet God or find out about my journey or others' journey, go to meetmyfather.org today. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. If you have not yet began to fellowship with believers who believe the word of God, who have a deep passion to hear the voice of God and obey the Lord, who want to see the Great Commission not be the great suggestion, who want to be able to see the kingdom of our Lord come on earth as it is in heaven, who sees the church as the family of God that we are, and the expectation of God that he has of us to increase the size of his family, his kingdom. If you want to be a part of the dream, if you want to be a part of reading a Bible and seeing and walking out what you read, if you want to be a doer of the word and not just a hearer and merely deceived, I encourage you, if you're in the Gulf Coast region, join us at the VFN Dream Center. You can find out more at vinefellowshipnetwork.org or join us as one of our e-members, our virtual members online. Go to vinefellowshipnetwork.org. Listen, it is time to be connected to a Rhema word. It is time. We need a now word to be able to step out in faith and see the glory of God. Listen, there's a lot of glory to share, and God wants to manifest his glory in your life. That's vinefellowshipnetwork.org, vinefellowshipnetwork.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Oh, we have been working so hard. I don't know if you've been listening to VFN Radio. We've been sharing a lot of golden treasures of things and revelations that, you know, God has given us over the year. And I was really enjoying some of the words in here. It's just, I mean, you're talking about prophecy. I mean, every single day, you know, we have to hear from God and kind of seek his perspective. And we're just having a conversation, a light conversation, L-I-G-H-T, because every conversation that you hear on the news, the political conversations, the religious conversations. Mm-hmm. I mean, you just want to say, hey, I just want to go into my cave and just hide out. I mean, is there anybody who believes God? What happened to this God? Like right. When you think about Gideon, Gideon's going, yeah, you don't hear. I'm hiding out in a wine press here, just trying to survive. Mm-hmm. And you got, you know, these angels showing up talking about mighty man of valor and talking about an awesome future. And he's saying, but what happened to the God of our past, that all the things that have happened in the past, and he began to speak into his life. And let me tell you something, there is hope. There is hope in God. What's going on right now, as you can see, you might not even know it. You may have buried your head in the sand of denial sometime back, right. And now you're just kind of, I know some people that I don't even watch TV anymore. And you go, oh, wow, what holy people. They go, no, I just watch Netflix. It's like, oh, you're totally disconnected from all reality. Right. You want any news or anything that's going on. Man, we'll let you know what happens when you start running this way.
Exactly.
But just thinking, my goodness, you know, God is preparing. He always has a way. And what's happening? What's happening in the environment today? God is getting our attention. And remember this, he's a loving God. God loves you, and God's got a plan for your life. He loves you so much, he'll shake your world to all you have left to do is look up.
That's right.
And then he'll go, you know what? I love you. And you'll go, thank you for being there for me.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll say, you're welcome, and I've always been there for you.
Right.
And then he'll begin to restore things back to you one by one. And some people can have more restoration than others, because some people get fully restored and they start trusting again in the stuff that he gave them. And Hosea 2 talks about that, the restoration. He pulls things away, but he does that to establish. And there is awesome hope. You know, kingdoms come and kingdoms rise and kingdoms fall, and God determines when they do. And he, if he even says very specifically that this kingdom will rise and this is its future, but all of a sudden its people begin to turn away from him, then he'll say, never mind. Mm-hmm. I don't want, you know, the plans I intended for it, it's over with. You think about it. When you look at, and we're really talking a little perspective here of God's news behind the news, when we're seeing all these things take place with North Korea and China and the Middle East and America. And when he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1, he's saying, listen, go. As I was with Moses, I'll be with you. Everywhere you set your foot, I will give you this land. And you think, and he says, you will never be defeated by anybody. Never by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened? They went to AI.
Oh, yeah, that's
they went to AI, the smallest town to defeat.
Mm-hmm.
And they got defeated and made a fool of an AI.
It sure did.
And it's like some people say, well, I thought God said, like, but I didn't know you was hiding a wedge of gold and a mink coat in your tent. You know, it's like if we stay right before God.
Mm-hmm.
And there's hope. I mean, God will begin to bring us into a place, a promised land, not on this earth, but in him, and bringing us into heaven. And this journey is us learning how to trust him and how to get our morning bread, our manna, our part of Jesus, the word, the living and active word of God in our life. And we need some Joshuas to rise up and believe that God can take us in. You know, Joshua had his moments when he thought, oh my goodness, God told me that, you know, we'll never be defeated, and we just got defeated in AI, and he began to cry out, and he said, you know, we're just going to die. We're right. going to die. And God says, get off your face and deal with the one who has sinned. Mm-hmm. And so often, you know, we don't deal with sin in the camp. We just don't deal with it. Right. You know, we just kind of let it go and let it go. In tradition, you know, and I say tradition, in large majority of the church today, they've created such fiscal debt that it's a financial decision first before it's a biblical decision.
All right.
Second. And they take it to a board who makes financial and administrative decisions, and they give you a logical response. If you tell Mr. CEO or Mrs. CEO, whoever, that they got to deal with that, you know, they're going to leave, and that's like 20% of our budget. We're going to go belly up in this building.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like all of a sudden we began to trust ourselves and trust people instead of trusting God. And that's when we start losing the battles.
That's right.
Yeah, that's when we start losing the battles. And the thing is, if you look at God's people on their journey, just study those that have gone before us and realize, have you read Hebrews chapter 11? I mean, the Hall of Faith, have you read about those that we're supposed to imitate? I mean, if you look at the natural sense, you would think, most of, you know, the world today, especially Americans, they would think, oh, these guys, they miss God.
Mm-hmm.
But God says the world wasn't even worthy of these guys. You can no longer, you can't measure God's success by how men view success. You just can't do it. And you can either be popular in God's eyes or popular in men's eyes, but you can't be them both.
Right.
And what happens, though, when you do what's right in God's eyes, there's the people who want God will want to be around you. They want God. And you start seeing things take place. I just want to encourage you that though you're seeing things take place and you look to the leaders, in even in Washington, D.C., and you think, is this really happening? Are they really, is this like, nuh-uh, not me type conversations? You did it first type things? Or about our entire nation? Are they printing so much money that we're going under now? Are they spending so much money that we're going under? Are we borrowing 40% of our money from China and other countries now? You know, are we picking a fight with Jacob,
right,
in Israel, with Israel? You think, oh my goodness. And you think about this. I want to encourage you that this is what God says. He says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, turn from our wicked ways, humble ourselves, and seek his face, he said, then he'll hear from heaven and he'll heal our land. He says, when I send plagues, when these terrible things come upon you that I sent, he said, Basically, it's hardship. Consider hardship as discipline and treating you as a son. But if you'll respond to them, these things will change. Washington, D.C. is nothing but a reflection of the heart of America, American people.
Mm-hmm.
That's us. That's what they are. They're politicians. They actually get voted in by us, you know?
Right.
I mean, how can you yell at people that you voted in? Or your lack of participation in the democracy, in the republic in which we stand.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't stand.
While we stand.
Yeah, while we stand. And the thing is that how we change Washington is we change our hearts. And you know what? Let me tell you, I'll give you hope. Listen to this. Even the very people that are in Washington, God holds their heart in his hand. And if we'll change our heart, God can change their heart overnight.
That's right.
That what's happening right now is happening because the church's heart's not right. I don't care what anybody tells you. I'm hearing things like they're preaching the gospel of grace. Well, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's not the gospel of grace. But once you make grace a gospel, that's a permission to sin.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not the gospel of faith. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these other things are attributes to faith in Jesus Christ.
Right.
And the benefits. And the last thing that we need to be focusing on is permission to continue to do wrong. We need to do right. Mm-hmm. So if we want to change Washington without even changing the people there, we can begin changing ourselves through personal transformation. Right. Personal transformation. You can say, you know what? I kept on yelling at the world because it didn't adjust to me. God, I'm going to begin to adjust to you and entrust you to adjust this world. And that's how it works. You just begin to spend time with God. And we have a simple plan. If you've never done it, it needs to be simple. If it's not simple, you'll be defeated in it. You just need to be able to spend time with God on a regular basis. Abide with him like he talks about in John 15. He says, if you remain in me, if you're reading the NIV, if you're reading the New King James, abide in me, and my word abides in you. He said, listen, you'll bear much fruit, and all these great things will come out. What God has saved you for is a personal relationship with him. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. If you don't have a simple plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's at iabide.org. iabide.org. We're right back. You're listening to VFN Radio.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
It's time. Come on. It's time to follow God. It's time to read his word and do what it says. Listen, there's grace for that. There's mercy for that. I mean, walking with God, there's nothing more exciting than to be the church. Yes, the truth is, if the church doesn't grasp this revelation, we may lose our own country.
Right.
We may lose this freedom that God's given us. But lose it or not lose it. Listen, let me tell you something. The church is across the world. Every form of government is in all those different nations and the nation that you're in. But listen, the kingdom of God continues on no matter what. It's time to read the word and do what it says. Do you know, that's what Vine Fellowship Network does.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just believe what God says and we begin to do it. You know, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches, you know, led by pastors and that maybe you have inside of you, the Lord's calling you to plant a church. You know, maybe in your city that you're called, you feel like the Lord's calling you to be able to plant a church. But guess what? That's not wrong to be able to advance the kingdom and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in your city. But you need to be connected, rightly related. You need to be have other brothers and sisters standing with you and to be trained, make disciples, teach them to obey all my teachings, Jesus said. You know, VFNU, we have everything available for you if we are for you. If God's calling you to relate to us, that's Vine Fellowship Network, Vine Fellowship Network or VFNFamily.org, VFNFamily.org. Listen, that is not wrong what you're seeking to do, but you got to make sure it can't be just done any old way. You have to do it in a way that you're covered and rightly related, and you have people standing with you who understand that this is a God thing. This is what he wants, to go into all the world and preach the good news of the kingdom. And those who believe, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey all my commandments. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, vfnfamily.org.
Hey, John. I actually just got an iPhone. You Did you get? Do you have an iPhone?
You know I do.
Really? Why'd you get an iPhone?
Well, I got an iPhone because I want to stay connected with my friends, family, and of course, you know I love those apps.
Apps? Tell me what? Tell me about the apps.
Well, you know apps, Steve. Come on, I gotta bring you 21st century.
Yeah, no, I'm
apps
behind.
Apps is a way that you can stay connected. You know, I want you to know now that VFN Radio, we actually have an app where all of our radio listeners can download onto their phones. Now, whether you have an iPhone or you have an Android phone, we got you covered.
Wow.
You can go to the App Store for the iPhone or Google Play for your Android, type in the word VFN TV, and then download. And what that does is it allows you to take VFN Radio on the go. What do I mean? Listen, I enjoy listening on my computer, but sometimes I want to get in the car. You want to go to the beach, hang out with some friends, take your phone with you, select your VFN TV radio app, and you have all this access to live program. You have access to video content, messages, and so much more. I like to say it's VFN Radio on the go. I encourage you to download the app now. Go to your App Store or Google Play and type in VFN TV.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
But I want to encourage you that, as I was beginning to talk about or talked about in the first hour, you know, don't spend a lot of time trying to explain yourself. So many times in my past and a lot of people's present, they say spend a lot of time trying to explain themselves. Now, let me explain to you why this is going on. And I say don't spend too much time trying to explain yourself, since they twisted Jesus's words and purposes, right?
That's right.
One who is perfect, flawless, and sinless. Think about that. Since they twisted Jesus's words and purpose, who is perfect, flawless, and sinless, I wouldn't spend too much time trying to explain yourself to someone who is not planning on understanding you, or at least letting you know that they understand,
right?
And who will not be happy until you are minimalized or crucified. For it is better to appreciate their unhappiness and move on.
Right.
It's important.
Yeah.
Understand that if you make them happy, that means you're minimalized. What's that word?
Minimalized.
Yeah, that was good.
Is that good?
Yes. Or if that didn't work, then you're crucified. Right?
Yeah.
And since Jesus was perfect and flawless and sinless, and we're not perfect, flawless, and sinless, who are we trying to pridefully try to explain ourselves? Why don't we just obey God? Give people a chance to follow God. If they say no, honor their decision and move on and appreciate their unhappiness.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
Because if they were happy, that means you were
minimalized.
Yeah, that's it. Or you were crucified. Hmm. So do you want them to be happy, or are you going to be happy? You know, which one is going to be? They were happy when Jesus went to the cross. And today, the church, I was just speaking recently to someone who says they believe that the church has been minimalized today. And that it is in a way in the minds of men, but it hasn't. We just got to wake up. That's why it's called the third great awakening. We have to wake up. Wake up, O sleeper, awake. And understand when the church rises and awakes and gets steadfast in our focus and our obedience and loyalty to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. Listen, all kinds of things will begin to move in our favor. I mean, you think about William Booth. William Booth, who was the founder of the Salvation Army, he shook the world for God. Shook the world for God. And today, remnants of his ministry is all over the world. They had parades in his honor in Great Britain for a man who just wanted to be, literally, uniforms that had, you know, captains and, you know, ranks and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Which would really freak out today's world. I mean, they would say, like, you're wearing your soldier?
All right.
No, you shouldn't wear a uniform. And but they were just meeting the needs of people and preaching the gospel, and people would spit on their clothes, and they would always carry an extra uniform that they would switch out so they could preach without having a uniform on there where it's been sped or eggs thrown at them. And it's like, that's amazing. Today, it's like, this must not be God. Why? I got egg in my face. Right?
Right.
Or they asked me to have a new team other than the Saints. I mean, it could be really dramatic. It could be really dramatic. We'll move on from there. The I cannot believe, though, speaking of that, that you said that the flower, the bush, the
Florida-ly.
Diagram.
The Florida-ly?
Say it like the like
Florida-ly.
Lee.
French, I think.
L-E-A-H or something like that? Or L-E-A-H.
Don't ask me how to spell it now.
Well, it represents the Trinity.
Uh-huh.
You closed your eyes when you said that. That's not. That's about an 80 percentile thing.
I'll have to get documentation.
Yeah, I just happened to go see them play, and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. The Saints. And they even sing the song that the Salvation Army would sing back then, when the Saints come marching in.
Mm-hmm.
They would march down the street. Oh, when the Saints. But I mean, these were actually Saints, you know, Christians that were going down, marching right. down. I'm not saying there's not Christians on the team. Drew Brees. He's a believer, and y'all know more of the team than I do, but y'all know a history that was. Moving on, we're getting out of the contradiction there.
All right.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today. In New Jersey, Yolanda's Cocina Cubana. Excellent Cuban food. Delicioso. Go in and get some for you and for me today. The Coffee House. If you're looking for a great cup of coffee in a warm setting and nice leather chairs, they even have a fireplace. Freshly made sandwiches. Also, if you're looking for a place to meet or business meetings, they have a great place for you. Go visit them today. Taqueria Ogies, authentic Mexican food. They're coming all over the Gulf Coast for some. Come get some today. Spicy, hot, and delicious. Your plate is next. On the Gulf Coast, contact Steve Barnhill's Paint and Body Shop with over 25 years of experience. No job is too big and no job is too small. Get in contact with them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. You know, it's so important, Pat, to you know, you may have a desire in your heart that you want to go deeper in God.
Mm-hmm.
And you may not see a way to do that, or you may be looking at a way that seems a lot different than you feel that you're called to in your heart. It's just really, you know, when you want to know the way of God. You right. want to know what he wants. He's called us to do three very simple things. Mm-hmm. You know, the great commandment is to love God, right?
Right.
With all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength.
Right.
And love our neighbor as ourselves, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the Great Commission is to lead other people to love God.
Right.
Which
right.
is love God, love others, and lead others to do the same. You know, that is so important that you need to be trained up, you know, to be discipled in God and just the basic discipleship. But once you get to that point and you're ready, you feel like you're called, and you want to go into the Great Commission and everybody's called to go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ, you know, think about VFNU, Vine Fellowship Network University. You know, it begins to change the mindsets of the world and the mindsets of religion, because you have to be empowered by God, endued by his spirit to be able to go out and be witnesses for him.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, VFNU is just so, I mean, I don't know. All we know is that God is blessing it. It's a revelation from the Lord. I mean, every time that you go in, you're thinking, my goodness, it can't get any deeper than that, or it can't get any refresh. And the next wave of revelation that comes, and what it is, it's like precept upon precept. And by the time you come through VFNU, if you properly went through VFNU as a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're going to find out, I mean, I am ready to obey God. I can see clearly now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so if that's you, if you want to be trained up for the harvest field. You want to, you know, maybe you're called to do, for a church plant, that you're, there's something inside of you. You've been wanting to plant a church for some time. And just like Peter Wagner recently said on VFN Radio and Steve Hill, that the hope for turning a country around or a nation around or America around is a rapid church planting movement. Well, we're looking for you.
All right.
We want to partner with you. We want to encourage you. You need to come and check out VFNU.org, Vine Fellowship Network University, VFNU.org, and maybe that's for you.